You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
In the June 8th business pages of the Globe and Mail, a feature article elaborated the theme that, quote, rather than run the risk of a dispute, many companies and unions are doing nothing, letting existing contracts run their course and putting negotiating on hold, a development previously unheard of, end of quote. But I guess the civic workers in Toronto don't take to heart the business pages of the Globe and Mail, because on June 22nd, some 24,000 of them, inside and outside workers, went on strike after voting in favor of this by 90%. Is this strike just of local interest to people in Toronto? Not so, argues union organizer Herman Rosenfeld, and we reached him in Toronto to discuss his viewpoint. Good morning, Herman, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Oh, good afternoon, Mordecai.
Ah, right, the time change.
Yes, of course.
The Toronto mayor is leading the charge against the union, says it's precisely because of the economic crisis that the city management has to demand major contract concessions. What do you make of that?
Well, I don't accept it. I think that certainly he is leading the charge, because it's true. And basically, we think that those of us in the labor movement here and on the left, we think pretty that this is really a way of breaking, taking advantage of the crisis to break the power of the unions. And in particular, the public sector in Toronto, and the public sector unions are one facet of the union movement which really has still been able to make defense of what workers have, whereas there's been since the beginning of this crisis, there's been a concerted offensive against the labor movement, starting with certain important private sector unions like the CA, Canadian Auto Workers, and workers in the steel sector. You might remember it was just a couple of months ago. They were talking about, the media was talking about privileged workers that had rights that other people didn't have, and they used that as a way to try and, arguing that they made $70 an hour, which of course they didn't, in order to break them, and they did, in order to demand massive concessions, historical concessions, and now they've moved to the public sector. The public sector is really important in Canada because it's an area where workers have been able to defend what they have, and in particular, QP, large union, 500,000 members, its power base in many ways is in municipal areas in Toronto. And if they can break them, they figure they can just break just about everybody. So that's what I think is really happening. It's really undermining, the idea is to undermine the entire union movement and therefore to undermine the entire working class, but in particular, to actually take away some of the gains that people in these municipal unions have made over the decades.
What, in terms of revenue alternatives, would the city have instead of making the workers pay the price of the crisis?
The developmental strategy that Mayor Miller and the power base inside the city council here has been to basically cut taxes for real estate and financial interests in order to attract investment and to basically to raise sin taxes. There's a number of flat taxes they're allowed to bring. So one thing would be to actually raise taxes on the wealthy and these investors. Secondly, they could borrow. They just borrowed actually a significant amount of money to get new subway car, new streetcars. Good that they're doing that to provide good jobs, but they need to do this in order to pay for services. And third is to oppose downloading, because in fact this is a consequence. This is sort of like the idea of the food chain. The city is like the bottom of the food chain. When there are cuts to the federal funds, downloading from the province and massive tax cuts. And you might have heard of the what happened during the mid 1990s and the mid to late 1990s with the right-wing Harris conservatives. They did a massive set of cuts, tax cuts, and revenues went down. Of course, revenues go down at a time like this during a crisis. But also they downloaded key services like welfare, social housing, a number of other kinds of services. And the provincial government today, and the Liberal government in Ontario, has remediated some of that. But fundamentally, those are three things that they could do. And they don't do it. And the reason why they don't do it is because it's not just it's mean-spirited. It's the mayor is in an alliance with he used to be an NDP person, an NDP member. He's in alliance with Liberals and with NDP members of the city council. We're in alliance with certain less rabid right-wing members of capital. Of financial interests, real estate interests, and they argue for things like they could have a development that isn't so socially polarized, where you can respect living wages and where you can tolerate unions, and where you can create good jobs. But it's all done in a private enterprise environment, and that's not really doable, particularly in the sense of a crisis, unless you're willing to go after your allies, and they're not willing to do that. So this is it's not only signals an attack on the unions from an administration which really hasn't done that, but it also I think is a kind of a break, an attempt to break with their allies, alliances in the unions to move towards their funders. And part of the contradiction there is that Miller probably the administration probably could never get elected, and his allies. In certain of the wards of Toronto, could never get elected without organized labor's activity. So it's kind of the political move that the, for example, that the Ray government made in the early to mid 1990s, when they actually faced with a crisis, instead of mobilizing the labor movement to actually demand and their to mobilize their base. To demand the bondholders pay or demand that more money comes from the federal government, they ended up turning on their base. And so they haven't, and they'll end up without a base. So, I mean, that's more or less the political didgeridoo that's happening here.
So when neoliberalism was in its most expansionist phase, it attacked workers' rights and tried to weaken unions. When it's in its crisis phase, as you're pointing out, in the auto sector and now in the public sector, it's trying to break unions. Oh, what's the conclusion to be drawn?
Well, I mean, obviously, to pose the question that way is to answer it. In fact, neoliberalism, and as we say in our this article we wrote, neoliberal urbanism really is always means that it comes at the expense of working people. It's a hyper-competitive era where private accumulation is the only way to grow. And in this particular crisis period, where in fact there's what they usually do during crisis periods is they increase unemployment, unemployment levels, and they make workers pay by increasing their taxes, by concessions at work. And by increasing unemployment on a city level, it means privatizing, commercializing more and more city services, and that's what neoliberalism means in an urban environment. The only alternative is to have is to build a movement which is not based upon private accumulation, which is tough. You got to build social movements around that, and that's not what Miller is about. And unfortunately, a lot of the progressive social forces in Toronto, Toronto Labor Council has done some really amazing positive things around fighting back, is going to have to either decide to move in one direction or another, because it's tough. A private enterprise solution to things at this moment means a neoliberal solution, which is not a solution at all for working people.
Now, a lot in the media, and media obviously play a role, a great role in terms of trying to mobilize support, either for management or for workers. A great deal is being made of a provision presently existing in the QP workers' contract to allow people to bank some of their sick leave. Could you explain if that is a significant issue or not?
Well, I mean, it's a significant issue for some of the workers. It doesn't cover all of them. It is, it's one of these. It's one of these issues. It's like a wedge. It's become like a wedge issue for the public. Much like the vaunted $70 an hour wage, which the workers and the auto workers didn't have either. In fact, what the reality is in Toronto, there's a plan which allows city employees to bank up to 18 sick days a year. And after at least, 10 years of service, they can cash them out at half their value on retirement. So what that means is it's like the functional equivalent for people who have, who've been there for 25 years of a severance package. They could take 6 months paid. So it really is, and my understanding is it was originally bargained. When it was first bargained, it was bargained as a way of bringing in a wage increase where the management didn't want to actually do it as a wage increase. And that's what tends to happen. So it really has to do with dealing with time off the job, with attendance issues, with the lack of a proper severance package, and also as a way of raising wages. So while it's being used as a wedge, it can easily be dealt with in a way that could look after both sides. But the city doesn't want to do that. They're using this as a red flag. And for people, for those who do have this 25 years of service, this is severance. So maybe if they bargain decent severance, it might make a difference. Although, an interesting thing happened last night, and that is that the city actually put forward publicly at a news conference a contract offer without going right to the public, and they posed a solution to this, which is clearly doesn't really look at those questions as I mentioned. It doesn't look at proper severance, the question of wages, and a question of time off. They offered a short-term benefit program, a short-term disability plan, which the union claims really doesn't really cover all that difference. They'll grandfather a certain number of people who, in fact, would be getting that six-month banking, which is, like I said, is like a real stand-in for severance. But the rest of them, they wouldn't get more than, say, $8,500, which is maybe it's $14,000 less than they would get under the current program. So I guess my reading of this is that right now the city isn't really seriously willing to bargain what they really need out of that. They're just using that as a wedge. And there's more issues involved, and it covers more people. But it's like a wedge.
Thanks for speaking with us this afternoon.
Okay.
Alrighty. I've been speaking with union organizer Herman Rosenfeld in Toronto, and to read the article he co-authored with Greg Albo on the Toronto Civic Strike, you can go to the website socialistproject.ca, or you can link to our website, cooperadio.org/redeye.